The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And welcome back, and we will get to your phone calls in just a moment at 855-242-7285. I know we have been very busy with guests, but we wanted to make sure we handled the news of the day and where we are right now. And it is the end of an era, and a lot of we all know what's happening, but have we really had a chance to contemplate what it all means? Mike Rodak has in AL.com how 23 will be the end of an era for Alabama, the SEC, and college football. Mike, thank you very, very much. Some of this we should have thought about, maybe even talked about, but you brought it all home in your latest. Explain the significance of what we are about to embark upon in the SEC schedule. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon to you as well. And, yeah, it's one of those things where when the 12-team playoff was first announced, I think it was 2026, when they first announced Texas and Oklahoma joined the SEC, it was 2025. But both of those got moved up. I mean, both of those are now 2024. And I think sometimes when people initially hear the news, they might think it's far off in the future and it's something we'll have to worry about later on. But right now, especially with the news that Texas and Oklahoma are joining next year, it's really something that means this final 2023 season is going to be the last that we know of where there's an SEC West and an East, there's a 4-team playoff, a lot of these things that we've kind of become accustomed to. I mean, especially even the 4-team playoff for the last 10 years and divisions for the last 30 years, those are all going away. After this coming season and sort of the months and the weeks are ticking away where we're going to be looking at a much different college football scheduling model and sort of just overall game next year once the 12-team playoff kicks in, especially.
Mike, I know some of this seems obvious, but it's not these are not things we've really thought about yet, because you're right. I mean, we thought it would be farther down the road. But what do you think will be among the most noticeable changes as we make this turn, other than the obvious, the 12-team playoff?
Yeah, in terms of the SEC, I think for fans being able to see different teams go to different schools where maybe just teams haven't traveled that often to. And we saw a couple years ago with Florida when they played Alabama for the first time, and I think it was 10 or 11 years. And, you know, there's kind of the typical example of Georgia not having gone to Texas A&M yet. And that's all going to change, I think, for the better personally. But when you're talking about the new scheduling model being 9 games and you're essentially cycling through every 4 years where every team in the SEC is going to go to every other school once every 4 years. So that means you're playing each other once every 2 years. That's going to be a noticeable change for fans who are used to that division mindset where every single year Alabama's playing Arkansas, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, LSU. You know, obviously Auburn, that game will continue as part of the permanent rivalries. And that's really the biggest thing, too. I think once we're looking at how the SEC is going to finalize all this, and Greg Sankey said it's going to happen within the next 60 to 90 days, a lot of fans, the first thing they're going to look for when that comes out is who are those three permanent rivals. So that's going to be the biggest change for fans, where you essentially go from having a 7-team division to now you're just playing these three schools every year and everybody else is rotating through.
Yeah, and Mike, some of this seems obvious, but and there's no way to calculate right now, but it could have a dramatic impact. And some of it, I suppose, is the luck of the draw on who lands on your schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think that's going to be the biggest drawback when you're talking about eliminating divisions and just essentially ranking teams 1 through 16, which is what, you know, they do in basketball. You're not able to play every team like you are in basketball. We have a much bigger, longer schedule. In football, it's only going to be 9 games, so you're not going to play every single team, and there's going to be teams that have tougher schedules by virtue of, A, who their rotating opponents are, but, B, also there's going to be teams that have pretty tough permanent opponents. I mean, Auburn will have to play Georgia and Alabama every year, and with the way things are right now, that's probably the toughest schedule for them in the SEC. So there is some inequity there. I think the SEC's argument is probably going to be that over the course of that 4-year cycle, things will even out a little bit, where you might have a couple tough road games in one particular year, but the next year might be easier. A different school might have an easier schedule 1 year and tough the next year. So I think it's going to be more over time where that balances out. But you can certainly see, you know, a case where there's a school that makes the SEC championship because they're one of the two best teams winning percentage-wise, but they played a much weaker schedule than the team that finished third or fourth. And I can imagine already, you know, the arguments on your show and obviously elsewhere where people might be kind of clamoring for what the old system used to be. So there's no perfect way to do it, but it's, you know, probably an improvement over how things used to be.
I know, Mike, right now there's this long list of tiebreakers to go to Atlanta. In terms of what other leagues do and what the SEC will likely do, are we looking at a ranking to determine who ends up there?
I don't know if it will be a human ranking, but certainly there has to be some sort of tiebreaker beyond head-to-head, because in a lot of cases you're not going to have a head-to-head game, you know, let's say between number two and number three to decide who goes to Atlanta. So it might be some sort of common opponents and just trying to figure out some other way. I don't know exactly what the tiebreaker list will be. That'll be, I think, another thing we'll have to look for once it comes out, because I think that is something that still has to be decided. And
the other leagues do, right? The ones that have gotten rid of divisions, how do they determine the championship opponents?
Just winning percentage wise, and the exact tiebreakers I'd have to check on. You know, the ACC just adopted that for this year, and the Pac-12, and I think the Big Ten wants to as well. I don't know the exact tiebreakers for each league, but in each case, it's going to be something that I think is a little bit controversial for each league.
And you alluded to this in your piece, and in years past, it very well could have happened. I remember 2013, maybe even 2013. There may have been another year or two where you have the Iron Bowl on Thanksgiving weekend or some other combination, and then you'll have the exact same game the next week.
Yeah, you've kind of seen that a little bit with the Big 12, too, where you've had some of those, you know, Baylor-Oklahoma State or Baylor-Oklahoma games that get repeated because, you know, the Big 12 hasn't had divisions. So they've had a few instances of that. It certainly could happen in the SEC with the way things will be. And you could have a third. I mean, you might have a case where two teams play each other in the regular season. They play each other in the SEC championship game. And if things kind of fall the right way, they could play each other in the 12-team playoff, too. So that's different. Nick Saban has been asked about it, what he thinks of that. He kind of pointed to the NFL because when he coached for the Browns, he said, we used to play the Steelers twice every year. We played them three times 1 year. And I think they lost all three times one of those years in the early 90s. So it's not uncommon, you know, in sports, obviously, to play a team twice. I don't think it's the end of the world, but it's different than what we're used to in sort of these regular season games meaning so much because it's the only time you see that team.
Mike, I just think we were talking about the 80s in basketball with Dale Brown. I remember, I believe it was 1980, there I go again, either 86 or 87. Alabama played Kentucky twice in the regular season, SEC tournament, and in the I believe it was the Sweet 16. I think they lost all four.
Yeah, in basketball, obviously there's more opportunity for that. And, you know, college football, the schedule keeps expanding. We could see more than 12 teams in the playoff one day, and I think that's only going to increase the chances of teams seeing each other twice. But, yeah, in terms of the Iron Bowl, you could have an Iron Bowl in Tuscaloosa, and then, you know, maybe Auburn makes the playoff, and they're hosting Alabama in the first round of the playoffs a couple weeks later, which is just completely foreign to kind of what we've come to expect down here, where it's that one day out of the year that becomes a holiday. Now it might be twice. That's certainly within the realm of possibility here.
Mike, in other words, if you're old school, you better enjoy this year, because next year everything will be turned upside down. Thanks for reminding us of how crazy things are about to get. Always good to talk to you.
You got it. Thank you very much.
Mike wrote a great piece here. NAL.com about what is to come. And by the way, it's not down the road. It's next year. We'll take a short break. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on this President's Day. Busy show so far. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Finebaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to wish all the best to Jim from Tuscaloosa. Even though I smash everybody, if you're not healthy, how am I supposed to smash you every single day? So I hope this man is doing well. I hope he gives us a good update, great update sometime this week, because I want to hear from the gentleman so he can motivate me more to smash him again and again. So my question is for you, Mr. Finebaum, in your opinion, what would you do to speed up college football game? Can you speed it up a little bit more? And here's another thing. You idiot John in Louisville and AJ, this is my show, little idiot. The line and reach a puberty stage just like that idiot Matt in San Antonio. Holla!
Happy President's Day to you, too. Augie is up next.
Hey, Paul, can you give us a translation of what just happened?
Yes. AC, I am an idiot.
Okay, that sums it up. You make the you could be a UN translator with your expertise there. That was a great interview with Dale Brown, and we all know how you feel about Dale Brown. I know that you had mentioned that he had been very gracious to you as a young reporter. I got to say, Dale Brown is a class guy, and I was at LSU in the early 80s and ran across him one day and just said, "Hey, coach," and he sat there and had a little conversation with me. Great guy. I guess I was fortunate when I was at LSU, we had two of the best coaches in LSU history. That's Skip Bertman for baseball and Dale Brown for basketball. I mean, those are two transformational coaches in LSU history. Because let's face it, LSU baseball was just something kind of to kill time until Skip showed up. He's turned it into, well, what it is now, an institution. And LSU basketball, but for Pete Maravich, maybe Pettit. I mean, was it LSU basketball ever anything at LSU, Paul? Until Dale showed up?
No. And you know, everybody, I mean, Pete Maravich was a generational player, but his father was a bum of a coach. I mean, let's be honest. He didn't have a clue.
I think in order to get Pete, we had to take press. So
by the way, that was a good investment, but you still had to get rid of press pretty quickly after Pete left, making way for Dale.
Yeah, we have. Absolutely did. And Dale Brown, as much as he said kind things about Louisiana, I know the people of Baton Rouge and Louisiana think the same of him. And I do want to say something that AC chimed in on that I hope Jim is doing well. Jim was for those of you who don't know, Jim was very gracious to me when I asked for prayers, and he still is. And whatever he's going through, he's got my prayers. And, Paul, you really can't think of your show without Jim, so you two go together. Like,
No, I was very upset to hear what he said, and you know, I give Jim credit. I know we live in a world where there's a tug of war about how much to say about whatever you are going through, but I'm glad he did. He didn't say very much, but he said enough to know that he needs our support.
Well, absolutely, he's got mine. Now, going back to conversation about the way football's changing, and it's absolutely true. I mean, this is like a tsunami that's about to happen, and I know we talk about it every day, but to really sit back and think of how things are going to change, especially in the SEC, this whole pod system and permanent games, who do you see? And, of course, I'm only interested in LSU. In my opinion, we can't lose that Alabama game. Do you see any situation where LSU and Alabama do not play every year?
I don't, but you have to look at it from Alabama first, because Alabama, you know, Auburn's on the docket. So
right.
Then what do you do? What's been the biggest game in the last 15 years in the SEC? It's been Alabama-LSU. That's not debatable.
I know Tennessee's been the big, yeah.
So do you opt for that, or do you look at Alabama and say, okay, Tennessee's been your rival since the beginning of time, and then do you
right.
give Alabama – you know, those three games, and then, I mean, to me, LSU-Ole Miss is a long-standing rivalry game.
Yes, yes.
After that, where do you go?
Well, what about Mississippi State? I mean, it's a close school.
Well,
next
yeah,
door.
Yeah, I mean, LSU has, I think of LSU, I think of Ole Miss, I think of Texas A&M, maybe that's a little bit newer, obviously, Arkansas, but I don't think of Florida. I think that game goes off the board. I think that's pretty obvious. And then I think it's a real challenge. I mean, one day maybe this spring we'll just have a draft here and let everybody figure it. It's not the easiest thing to figure out because you may figure your team out, but there are 15 other mouths to feed here. Hey, thanks, Augie. Really good to hear from you. Thank you very much. Sandra is in Austin. You're on the air. Hello, Sandra.
Hi, how are you today, Paul?
Quite well, thank you.
Good, good. I just wanted to say a couple things, and then I was hoping to get your feedback on it. And one of the things is, I know you, in response to some of the interviews and things like that that Saban has been giving, and it seems like last week a lot of people were calling in, kind of speculating on who would follow. Now, it's my understanding that he has not declared anything yet. Is that right?
Well, no. Nick Saban agreed to a new deal, which is irrelevant, basically, because you know, Nick Saban doesn't need a new deal. He can do whatever he wants. And he's been very consistent on saying he has no interest in leaving the game in spite of his age or anything else.
Well, yeah. And so that's what's bringing me to this question. You know, last week you had quite a few callers calling in and, you know, wondering who was going to follow Nick Saban. Well, for one thing, who in the world would want to follow him? I mean, it would be like going behind the bear
Nobody. I covered the Bears' departure, and it was one of the more challenging things because, and I think this is going to be even more difficult because what I'm about to say doesn't make factual sense, but you understand it. Bear Bryant at 69 was an old man. He died. Nick Saban is 71, doesn't look old. He's nowhere.
Right.
He looks to be in perfect health. So replacing within a short period of time, we're talking a couple of years from now. I don't know if Saban decides to spend another 10 years there, but it's going to be challenging and extremely difficult because of measuring up to his success. I think it will be
right.
Virtually impossible.
Well, yeah, it's just like when Vince Dooley left, it was years before they could hit on
right.
Even walking this trail that they're walking right now. I guess my philosophy, being a Gamecock fan, we just sort of take our yippies when we can get them, you know, but why can't they just enjoy where they are? And anybody that would be mentioned today may or may not be available. So why are
Sandra,
you even?
I'll never forget being a reporter back in the era of Bryant, and that was a parlor game trying to figure out who would take his place, and I don't think anybody came close to getting it right. That shouldn't have been as difficult. Right now, if you ask me, I could not tell you because I don't think there's a legitimate list. I know Dabo Swinney's name always comes up, but at the moment, I don't think that's realistic, and neither do I think anyone else is. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. It's great to hear from you, and let's check in with Ray in Tennessee. Hey, Ray, go right ahead.
This is Roy.
Hey, Roy. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I just want to know what the hell is wrong with the NCAA and that they can't come to a conclusion on Jeremy Pruitt's situation at UT.
Well, Roy, you probably have to – I think the question might be better asked to the University of Tennessee because I'm sure they are challenging whatever they have received so far. It's a two-way street. You get a report, and then you quibble about what is in that report. I agree. I mean, these things should not last longer than murder trials, but they do.
What's your opinion on it?
I don't know what they've specifically charged him with. To me, and you, what you have to do when you're talking about Jeremy Pruitt is forget where we are right now, because the allegations that he's accused of committing occurred in a pre-NIL world. So, I think if NIL had not happened a year and a half ago, Tennessee would be in deep trouble. The fact it did happen means that I don't think they're going to be in deep trouble. I don't think they're going to even get anything more than a slap on the wrist. So the question then becomes, what does it mean to Jeremy Pruitt? Will he be able to coach again and when?
Exactly.
I can answer part of your question without really knowing specifically the answer, but it's pretty obvious if Jeremy Pruitt was anywhere close to being cleared, Nick Saban would have hired him as defensive coordinator. He did not. He will be an analyst pretty soon. I appreciate your concern, but the NCAA is a dysfunctional organization. That is not exactly breaking news. We'll take a break. We go get back to your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on a Monday afternoon, holiday, President's Day. Johnny B. Good is up next. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Paul.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Long time no talk. I've been away from the phone a little bit.
I enjoyed the
Dale Brown call very much, but I was going to throw a few nuggets at you. You know, before he got there, they were basically just known for beating Maravich's scoring record, Pistol Pete, you know?
Sure.
But right now that record is in jeopardy by a former Fayette Alabama player that went to, Mike Davis. He went to Alabama. Then he went on to coach at Indiana.
Oh, sure.
And
I knew Mike.
Under, he followed Bobby Knight. You can imagine what kind of fun that was. But
yeah, then Mike coached at UAB, I believe.
Yeah, he's at, I think, Detroit Mercy now is where he is.
And I didn't know where Mike
son
was.
His son, Antoine, is approaching the scoring record. And since
I had no idea.
Brown,
now, Mike's a pretty legendary character. Well, hey, thank you for sharing that with us. And is that Fayette North, Alabama, Fayette High School you're talking about?
Well, it's probably, 30 minutes north of Birmingham? It's between where I live in northwest Alabama and Birmingham. It's just a little place out, kind of like where I live, just a little hole in the road, but it's produced a few good players over the years.
Is there a junior college in Fayette?
No, that's Bevel.
Oh, okay.
In Hamilton, and then you've got Hansville over in Culm.
Okay. I just remember going to Fayette once, and I couldn't it was, I remember being north, it was somewhere near Tuscaloosa, but I couldn't remember where. But anyway, thanks for the call. Really do appreciate it. I-Man is up next. Hey, I-Man.
Hey, good afternoon. I was listening to Little Allman Brothers' Jessica on the break there. Who's ever picking out the music's doing one hell of a job there, Paul. Did you realize that Yoko Ono turned 90 years old this week?
Yoko turned 90. Wow,
90.
She was obviously older than John.
Oh, absolutely. And a friend of mine posted, have you ever seen the videos on YouTube of John Lennon and Chuck Berry? I don't know if it's a Dick Cavett show, but it was some kind of variety show.
I've heard of that.
And Yoko's over there to the side with a little conga drum, and she starts all that caterwauling.
I've always disliked Ono for breaking up the Beatles. Sorry.
Lennon said that she didn't break the Beatles up.
Well, you think I'm going to take his word for it?
Well, I mean, I'm going to get to a point here. Now, when you're watching John Lennon and Chuck Berry doing "Roll Over Beethoven" in Memphis, because Lennon was a huge fan of Chuck Berry.
Sure.
And when he's playing Memphis, when they go into the tune Memphis, Yoko starts all that screaming she does. And I don't know that Yoko broke the Beatles up, but she was definitely the fifth person in the world. But the expression on Chuck Berry's face is priceless. That's what she did to the Beatles. The expression on his face speaks volumes. And she's doing all that. And, I mean, she don't even know where the verses are and the choruses are. And Chuck even just had to, stop the damn song. But anyway, she's 90 years old. Imagine that. I heard part of Jim's call, but I didn't hear him say that he was sick or anything. Best wishes to Jim. And there's not this big love fest going on with Jim and I. I just kind of backed off of Jim. And it's because I had other things to say, and Jim just happened to like those calls.
Here's my theory, man, if you would allow me to offer it. I think you backed off of Jim because it was cutting into your anti-Saban rhetoric.
No. I had other things to say, and Jim just happened to agree with him. And I will say this to your callers. I think we're all in the same direction on a lot of these topics, but it's funny what a few words in a sentence will do and change the narrative. And we all know that everybody has a birthday, and I'm assuming Jim's got a birthday this year or had one here recently in February, because that's what we've been known to know. And I'd like to tell him happy birthday and best wishes with his ailments, and I hope he gets over this. I have a lot of respect for Jim. I have a lot of respect for all your callers. Now, this guy, AC, I don't even know why I'm talking about his dumb ass. But, that little WWE rant, the you crazy Americans and all, that's really getting kind of old and childish, if you will. And maybe he needs a new take. Maybe he needs a football team. Maybe he just needs to go somewhere else. But I appreciate your call.
He can't go anywhere else. He's already been deported to Canada.
Well, and you know what? I appreciate you taking his calls. And a lot of people say, well, get rid of him. Get all these different people off the air. You know what? The thing about the call like from AC just makes me sick. It just makes me feel so much damn better about myself. And, Paul, I appreciate your show. You mean so much to me. I'm a longtime listener, 5,235th call, and I really appreciate your program. And you're such a good man. You're such a good man. And the way you deal with these people, you deserve Mickey Mouse money. And your crew deserves Goofy and Donald Duck money. And why did Disney not give Donald Duck any pants? Have a good day.
Chip is up next in Georgia. Hey, Chip, welcome.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how you doing, sir?
We are well, thank you.
Oh, good. I'm a longtime listener, and I certainly enjoy your show. You sure to do a good job of covering everything.
Thank you.
Little trivia for you. My father-in-law, who passed away many years ago, was a quarterback at the University of Georgia. He played under Wally Butts, and in 1956, he was involved in one of the last stadium-clearing fights that they had. Everybody met out in the middle of the football field because he had been run out of bounds purposely and had his shoulder hurt. And the teams ended up in a big fight. The only way they could end it was to play the national anthem.
So that's great.
So therefore, therefore I'm not a big Auburn fan. It ruined his baseball career and all that kind of stuff. But my question to you, Mr. Paul, excuse me, is what do you think? Do you think Freeze can bring Auburn back? Auburn was always such a powerful team in the country, and you know they've been down a few years. What are your thoughts on Auburn, Mr. Paul?
I do think he can, and quite frankly, I don't think it's an impossible task. Hugh Freeze is well versed in the NFL, in college football. And I don't think he has to do much other than bring some stability back. And Auburn has the resources and the support. I just think Brian Harsin was such a cataclysmic hire that the program went off the rails. And it's with Hugh, or I don't think he was the only solution, but I think he was one of the best solutions because of his experience in the SEC.
And yes, Mr. Paul, I think you may be right about that. And I guess the good news about all this is, had it not been for the injury, then my father-in-law would ended up playing professional baseball up north, and I wouldn't have met my wife of 40 years, Tammy. So once his shoulder was injured in that game, he was done with that and came back to Georgia, and that worked out well for me. How about that, Mr. Paul?
Well, Chip, I hate it for your dad, but I'm happy for you. I think the door opened, and the cliches abundance of cliches on what happened to you. But thank goodness it worked out. Terry is in Georgia. Terry, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Paul. It's been a while since I've talked with you. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Good. Usually when I call you, I'm talking Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss Rebels football, but I want to talk basketball for a moment. As you probably know, Rebels are not doing well on the men's side. They're last in the conference. I like Kermit Davis, but this is his fifth year, and we're struggling, and a change is going to be made from what I hear and what I see happening. So I'm hearing Chris Beard, maybe, who was let go over at Texas. You know, he was let go because I think he attacked his fiancée or something. But
well,
there
was an allegation. I think there was an arrest. No charges were filed. She ultimately withdrew the complaint, and he has been cleared of any legal responsibility. But, it's a matter of whether that incident is too much. I mean, he was a phenomenal coach. They were number one in the country at the time that happened.
But are you hearing, is he going to be seriously considered? Are you hearing any other names?
Well, I don't know. And, I agree with you on Kermit. I mean, he got to the tournament the first year, and then it's been downhill ever since. And sometimes you just can't change the trajectory. He's one of, the coaches that we would probably enjoy seeing the most when we make our rounds.
Yeah.
And being a good guy is not going to keep your job. I saw Beard's name mentioned today in a media report, but ultimately I think that's a decision the school has to make. I mean, would he be the best choice available? Yeah, Chris Beard was a coveted coach a couple of years ago. I mean, everybody wanted him.
Yeah, well, back to Kermit, though, you're right. He is a great guy. But, the only year he took Rebels to the tournament was his first year, and that was with Andy Kinney's players.
Yeah, no, the,
so 5 years,
the trajectory is terrible.
Years is enough
but,
time.
Yeah, I don't want to pass the buck here on Chris Beard, because But I don't know. I mean, it's a kind of it's a, first of all, it's a situation where a lot of coaches have been hired with dubious reputations. You know that. It's really right. What the university discovers in their investigation into it and due diligence. And, you know, because somebody drops a charge, that doesn't mean anything. There had to be a pretty there had to be some serious reason why the police in Houston you know, looked into it and went the route they did. And when his fiance withdrew the charges, they didn't have much choice. I mean, they could have continued, but it would have been a losing cause. So the you know, what happened? You know, what created it, and how much negativity can the Ole Miss people stomach if they make that choice? I think ultimately, though, that's where it lies.
Well, thanks for the update, Paul. Appreciate
Thank you
it.
Very much. Yeah, and by the way, I mean it's not. I wish I knew more about it. I know very little about it other than what I've read. Do we need it? Where are we here? Okay, why don't we take a break?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Kathy is up next in Georgia. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just want to say that we are praying hard for Jim. We want him to get well. We don't want anything to happen to him because I don't want you to have to retire because he's the one that makes the show. And if he's not well, I don't know if we can go on.
You know, Kathy, I feel very confident that he is going to have a full recovery. And again, you know, he was I think Jim deserves all the credit for being honest with us about what he's going through. But and I thought that was a really important moment for Jim.
I do, too. And I am. And I was worried, like last Friday, I had some news that on your radio show, someone posted that Cat Daddy had passed away, and I was frantic. So I called, yeah. And your staff was so great in finding out, and I did too. It was a Cat Daddy, but it wasn't our Cat Daddy.
No, Kathy, it's so funny. Bad. It's not funny, but yeah, we had seen that, and we were talking off the air, and we'd even seen the death announcement, and we all collectively decided, let's find out. First of all, you don't know. You know, let's let this settle. And as soon as I finished speaking to the guys in the other room, Cat Daddy was calling in. He had no idea that he had died. Trey is up next. Trey is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
All good, Trey.
Well, Paul, I'm in downtown Mobile, 82-degree sunshine weather, and there's probably about 150,000 people or so still in the streets for Mardi Gras over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
You ever been to Mardi Gras in Mobile, Paul?
Never.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Mardi Gras started in Mobile. A lot of people think it was in New Orleans, and I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, Paul, no, I've spent a lot of time in Mobile. I was aware of that, but I've been to Mardi Gras in New Orleans, but not in Mobile.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.